Uno, dos, tres, catorce? These are the lyrics that start off U2's smash hit Vertigo, a song Bono stated is the mother of all rock and roll tunes. But why did Bono end the line that way? In 2010, production for the fourth and final Scream film began. We had Kevin Williamson back on the script and Wes Craven once again in the director's chair. Craven had stated he'd return to the franchise only if the new script was as good as the original. So I guess it was? Once again, we've got an ensemble cast. Some returning faves: David Arquette, Nev Campbell, Courtney Cox, reprise their roles, and we welcome Emma Roberts, Hayden Panettiere, Anthony Anderson, Allison Brie, Adam Brody, Rory Culkin, and more delightful baby faces that hope to grow into ghost faces. Although on this podcast, we don't call the killer ghost face, we call the killer Scream. The film takes place on the 15th anniversary of the original Woodsboro murders and involves Sidney Prescott returning to town as part of her autobiographical book tour. Is the book tour autobiographical? No, she's returning to town to talk about her book, which happens to be an autobiography. And when Scream starts a-killin', everyone better watch out, because in this day of iPhones and Pac-Man video games, you never know if the caller ID matches the head on the other end. But is this film the mother of all horror films? If it's not, is it at least as good as the original? Or is this just Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson's unforgettable miscount? You decide as we enter the season finale of this year's Pumpkin Spice Podcast with Scream 4. Welcome to Pumpkin Spice Podcast. It's a seasonal holiday treat where comedy and horror meet. I'm Rob Schulte.
I'm Brittany. Hi.
Brittany, you know what's really great about our podcast?
What?
Is that this season we've made it through four episodes without burning a building down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it. And we've also had guests every single episode.
That's right. Even episode two.
Even episode two. And that was more of a meta guest, much like this entire podcast has been. I thank our audience for all of their tweet responses that came in there. But one thing I have learned throughout this incredible adventure is that you don't want to waste time, Britt. You want to get to that guest.
Yes, I don't want to sit around like the guest is sitting there right next to you, looking at you, being like, when are you going to introduce me? The person has a heart out.
They are breathing heavily into the mic, letting us know.
Yeah.
So I should probably just introduce them, right?
Introduce them and make it nice.
When am I going to be introduced?
Okay. I'm so sorry, sir.
Yeah.
We have a writer, an award winner, a fan, a friend, editor, creator, humongous.
Yeah, my recent project, which I'm happy to talk about at length. Is now the time to do it? Or
John DeVore.
Okay,
John DeVore.
You're here.
First of all, John DeVore. Second of all,
you might have heard him on our live episode,
which was so much fun. I'm so happy to be back. That episode, The Murder Clause. What was the movie? Silent Night.
Deadly Night.
Right.
Oh.
Remember we went to that movie theater, Brittany?
Brittany, you and I met in person.
I know.
And we became best friends.
I know. I recall, and every time I talk about you, Rob's like, how do you even know? And I'm like, we're really close, okay? Sheesh.
I had so much fun on that podcast. Friends of mine actually went to that recording at Alamo Drafthouse in Brooklyn. And they were sorry. Right. They did not know I was there, and they legitimately treated me like I was a celebrity afterwards. And I'm like, no. But like, they were there, like at five of them. They came to see this movie, and they were like, you were going to be part of the podcast?
Oh, man. Now if we could get them to listen to the podcast, that would be the best part. Hey, but I should say, on this day that we're recording this, we got a shout out in the Other Men Need Help newsletter. They're stealing our costumes, Britt. And you know what? I'm going to say, use them.
Yeah.
If they would have dressed up like Tina and Bob.
I stole mine from someone else.
Yeah. But we're not here to talk about other podcasts. We're not here to talk about past podcasts. We're here to talk about Scream 4. But before we talk about Scream 4, I just want to touch on what John is doing with Humongous.
We can say that to the end.
Okay, because I got Rambo thoughts.
Well, we can get to the end of Rambo. But look, I spent, yesterday with my girlfriend's birthday party.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, Emily. Happy birthday. We went to a Mets game.
Woo!
I told her I had to leave her apartment this morning early because I had to watch Scream 4. I had to. I had a podcast. I'm a podcast guest these days.
You are.
I had to watch it, and I watched it, so I'm ready to talk about Scream 4.
Well, let's dive in. Brittany, I think the most important thing to do is we have to read the user-generated IMDb storyline.
You know what?
Right?
You have to read the IMDb user-submitted storyline. You do it!
Okay, I will. I'm doing it. Sydney Prescott, now the author of a self-help book, kind of, returns home to Woodsboro on the last stop of her book tour. There, she reconnects with Sheriff Dewey and Gail, she's not a sheriff, who are now married, as well as her cousin Jill and her aunt Kate. Unfortunately, Sydney's appearance also brings about the return of Ghostface, or as we call on this podcast, Scream, putting Sydney, Gail, and Dewey, along with Jill and her friends, and the whole town of Woodsboro in danger. That was written by Joey. Now, Joey has written quite a few reviews and rated quite a few movies. And as I look at it on IMDb, he gives a lot of zeros, but he did give a 7.9 to After the Purge. I just want to get in the mindset of the people who are really into writing these things on IMDb. I don't think I'm ever going to get to the bottom of it. How about you, Britt?
Yeah, probably not.
Would you ever write one of these?
I don't really write reviews. Honestly, I have very vague opinions. Maybe no, I have very strong opinions, but then when it comes down to putting on paper, I'm like, I don't care that much. But I bet John DeVore has opinions that he's put in writing.
I have so many opinions, and I'm so happy to share them with both of you.
Start from the beginning.
It's generally good, but there are some hard no flavors that I'm just like, what's the point?
Okay. We'll get back to ice cream in a moment. I want to know the environment in which we all watched this film. John, let's start with you. You had to leave. You had to go to your own home to watch it?
I just, before we went to bed last night, I was like, I got to get up in the morning, honey. I know it's Saturday, but I got to watch Scream 4. I didn't even know there was a Scream 4. I'm happy that it's streaming on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
And it was jarring because I don't think I've seen Scream since 1997. So I watched it this morning with my dog Morley Safer.
Beautiful dog, by the way. Reminds me of Quincy, by the way, Brittany.
Wow.
You met Morley. And I watched it all. I did a little laundry in between. I stared at my phone a little during some exposition.
It's the benefits of streaming.
But that was my environment. That's how I watched it. I watched it today. I have got hot takes.
Brittany, how about you? You're a daytime screamer.
Always. Got to watch it before the sun goes down. Yeah. Watched it yesterday, and it was pretty breezy. Like, John, I did pay attention, obviously. I have to. You know, you guys would find out real quick if I didn't. But yeah, I watched it with my dog, and you know, aww, I keep the volume really low so nothing too loud scares me.
Or Quincy.
Right.
Well, this was another plane viewing for me, much like Scream 2. I was coming back from Los Angeles when I watched it.
Ooh la la.
Yes, and I had to rewatch a few scenes at home because of the loud airplane noises. I missed a couple of Culkin moments.
Oh.
But
you didn't really miss anything.
Well, I learned that when I turned it on Netflix later that
Charlie.
With the hair.
With the hair.
The one who's betrayed.
Yes, much like a...
He looks like Macaulay Culkin, but with long hair.
The one with the exceedingly misogynistic kill of Kirby.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one.
Over the top, some might say. My memory of this movie is nothing because I had never seen it before. And same. It was interesting to see a movie 10 years later, something like that.
Well, we were taught. I just don't think it was on anyone's radar. And I don't know what prevented a Scream 5 other than Craven's untimely demise.
Yep.
But I just don't think it made a huge splash.
Mm-mm.
It didn't. Not even a huge Scream. That's a really good way to get into the first topic or first segment for the show. We call it Cutting Class. And these are the fun facts about the film.
I don't call it that.
Well, we call it that.
No, no, it's
Brittany,
just
do you. Call it
Rob, it's just you.
Just me.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much at the finale of this season.
Attention, faculty and students.
You're suspended.
Not until your grades improve.
Cutting Class.
The school is closed.
I pulled out a few fun facts from this show. This picture show, everyone. Like you said, John, last film directed by Wes Craven, unfortunately. For the first time in the franchise, this boggles my mind that this is a fun fact, but they used a CGI knife.
Really?
There was no knife.
What?
It was all computer added
what?
Later. Yes. Computer generated, as they say. Don't ask me why.
That must be some pretty good CGI, because I didn't.
I mean, did you see Brad Pitt in Hollywood? That's good CGI.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes.
What's good CGI?
They're touching up people everywhere. You don't even know where
no,
the
Brad
CGI
Pitt
is
that fresh.
Brittany, yeah. I'd like you to weigh in.
Brad Pitt definitely... Wait, I was going to say something that would objectify him, but we live in 2019.
Objectify him. No, no, but
I'm
it's okay.
We're good. It's,
the patriarchy can take it.
Hubba, yeah, hubba. You know what I mean?
Hubba, hubba.
Hey, Brittany, I know what you mean.
Pull quote. We're putting that on the cover of the podcast.
No, he's just a freak of nature blessed with excellent genes.
Yeah.
He's a fine looking man.
But that
it's
knife.
Just how it is.
That knife had to have been real. I can't. Are you sure?
I don't know.
Did you verify this?
I'll make calls. We'll come back to this later. Next season, we'll verify.
He's just a fine-looking man.
He is. If he's not CGI, this knife isn't CGI.
The knife is CGI.
Oh. Anyway, third fact that I've pulled is that in June of 2010, Wes Craven asked his fans on Twitter what his cameo in the movie should be. And then that cameo was ultimately cut from the film.
Yeah.
How fun is that fact?
Wow. What a fun, pointless fact.
Yeah.
The trivia section of this movie has the most mundane bullshit you will ever find. I love it. Hey, we love it.
Well, for folks who haven't seen the movie, though, and are like on the fence, you should tell them about the all-star cast. It's crazy how many stars are in this one. It's more than any of the other ones, I feel like.
You got your Kristen Bells, one scene at the beginning. You got your Anna Paquin, same scene, supposed to be...
Yeah, I wouldn't call those two women in 2011 like the shining...
True. Oh. But they were supposed to be Paris Hilton
for
and
sure.
Nicole Richie at the time. Mm. They agreed not... They said no. But Hayden Panettiere, she was great. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, sure.
She's in Nashville. I don't know if you guys have watched that show. I know I haven't. But Emma Roberts kind of steals the movie, in my opinion.
Who's Emma Roberts?
She is Neve Campbell's cousin.
Jill. Yeah, who
Jill.
Is she, though?
Jill. Oh, she's in Scream Queens. She's in American Horror Story. Brittany, have you seen any of the films that she's been in? Because I don't think I have, but I know her from them.
I know she's Julia Roberts' niece or something.
Yes.
That's a fun fact. That is
there
a fun
we
fact,
go.
Rob.
It's almost like
that
no
is a
one...
that is a fun fact.
You...
In the future, that's a fun fact. That's fun and a fact.
My vision will not be tarnished on this show. But you're right, Brittany. Next year, let's go back and listen to this season and this episode specifically so that I know what a fun fact is.
Yeah, dude. There's such a good fun fact that you, of course, you're going to skate by this stuff because you don't care about pop culture. But in between Scream 3 and Scream 4, that's when Courtney and what's his name? Dewey. What's Dewey's name?
David Arquette.
Oh, yeah. That's when Courtney Cox and David Arquette made it a fish, right? Between 3 and 4.
And then they got divorced.
They what? They made it a fish?
Like they,
well,
yeah.
They got
married.
They got married.
Oh.
Hey,
but then
didn't you get married?
No, I got engaged.
Oh, my God. Well, congratulations.
It was a beautiful engagement. The video was on my Facebook.
Well, I'm going to go check it out. I'm sharing it with everyone.
BRB, I'm going to check that out.
Screen cap. I cried.
Me too.
John,
and you know what? Like, at one point, I'm like, this is a subversion of the patriarchal paradigm. But on the other hand, I was like, I should be proposed to. I'm amazing.
Yeah.
I feel that too. Right. That you should be proposed to.
Thank you, Rob. Well, she beat you to it.
Well, congratulations again. It doesn't make mine any less than.
But now I didn't know that Courtney Cox and David Arquette divorced.
That was just before the movie, too.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were still married.
They're very professional. Hey, maybe they got back together. I'll call them.
Ew, and that's weird because in the fourth one, they're like soups together. And you're telling me they were divorced during that time? What a bummer. I would be like, I'm
separated.
Sorry, I can't. I'm not that professional.
It's like, I'm going to need my own trailer.
Yeah.
How about the next segment? Yeah. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
It's called Death Becomes Her.
Now a warning. Live forever.
He's dead.
They think I'm dead.
You are, but you're not.
Now he's dead.
He's dead.
Everybody's dead.
Death Becomes Her.
And this is our favorite, or what we felt was the most unique death. Brittany, let's start with you.
Stabbed in the forehead.
Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards? What the fuck? Anthony Anderson.
Yeah, Anthony Anderson. That's right. I'm sorry.
Stabbed in the forehead. Like, how rude. I was just like, why? There's so many better places to stab someone.
Better.
But he did get, it did allow him to have a long death scene that ended on a punchline.
True.
And ended with a few punches. I do like the idea that, like,
he's blinded by the blood.
He's blinded. He didn't give up immediately. Scream tried to get him.
I just watched that movie and I completely forgot that scene happened. So, Brittany, thank you.
Yeah. Well, so just for the record, I absolutely would give up. If somebody stabbed me in the forehead, I don't care if it takes me 12 hours to bleed out, I will not be fighting back. I'm like,
fuck Bruce Willis.
I'm dead, right?
Where's the closest cliff to jump off of?
I'm just gonna lay down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is gonna be the best nap I've ever had in my life. I'm gonna go with Alison Brie or Rebecca's death because there's a whole lot of ridiculousness whenever you involve a parking garage. But then she gets CGI stabbed, and that's not good enough. Scream wants to make a statement about the news media and then throws her probably dead body off onto a news van. I feel like they're trying to communicate something there that didn't quite make it. How about you, John? What was your unique one?
This was an interesting question because as I watched it, I found myself bored by the violence.
Yeah.
Really?
The falling onto the truck, that's unique. And Brittany's right. The being stabbed in the forehead. Anthony Anderson did get a little bit of a moment.
Sure.
You know, he gets to say fuck Bruce Willis before he dies. Other than that, I have knife stabbing guts blindness. It was just stabby. And here's the one thing there was one particular scene where the Foley, the sound effects, the stabbing sound effect, when he pulled the knife out, it made this really loud, like, and
yes.
I'm like, I don't think that's what, I don't think, it was just too much. It was just too, the stabbing is not that loud.
It's not true. It's true.
In your personal experience, what is a stab
anytime? Well, you know, there's that famous anecdote that, what's his name? Alfred Hitchcock spent a day listening to a PA stab melons to decide what was the sound that sounded the most like a body being stabbed for Psycho.
Hmm.
It's a famous sort of scene.
Well, that's
anecdote.
Another fun fact.
That is, not a Scream 4 fun fact. But I'm just saying that the sound effects were just a bit much. But I just found the deaths to be pedestrian.
Well, and I felt they were a little over the top when Jill's friend dies, who also has a weird comment made about her by the adult cop, Anthony.
Yeah.
When she died, that was so much blood.
Right. Also, one thing, I was happy that the blonde cop who is clearly in love with Dewey.
Lemon Squares.
Doesn't get killed.
Yes.
Hmm.
She did freak me out, though, when she was trying to remind Nev Campbell that they went to high school together.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. That was a red herring. She is more likable than Gale. And I think that she would love Dewey better.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and maybe you're right, but I still just don't think it's, like, chill to be like, you could be with me, I have lemon squares, your wife's, like, kind of rude and whatever. It's just kind of like, you know, there's plenty of men to go around, right?
But, like, if all is fair in love and war, don't you think it's fair, like, if I made somebody lemon squares and they were so good that they fell in love with me, isn't that an honorable way to steal someone from someone?
Absolutely. I'm with you on that.
Thank you, Brittany. Yeah.
Okay. So let's all work on our lemon square recipes.
Yes.
I think anytime there's enough lemon squares to go around, we should all just be having lemon squares.
Rob, I made you some lemon squares.
Really?
I made you.
I'll follow you home like a lost cat. Should we get into Maniac, Britt?
Yeah.
Maniac. It will tear the life out of you.
This is the craziest thing a character does in the movie, or the craziest thing we noticed in the movie. I'll go first on this one. There's been a pattern throughout Scream 1, Scream 2, Scream 3, and it's cut off here at Scream 4. So I've been very upset that I could not bring a cohesive whole to my theory. But there's no bathroom scene in this movie. If you look at Scream 1, there's a really weird bathroom scene where Matthew Lillard in the Scream mask stays in the bathroom all day just to attack Sydney. In Scream 2, there's the weird bathroom scene at the beginning where Omar Epps is listening in to someone and then gets stabbed. In Scream 3, there's a bathroom scene with one of the main characters who is an extreme red herring. In Scream 4, they decide to cut off all bathroom scenes? That's crazy.
Maybe that's one of the scenes that got cut with Wes Craven.
He was in the bathroom.
Well, here's the thing, though. Jill,
yes,
beats David Arquette with a cast iron bedpan.
Very true.
Which is, if not a toilet, a reference.
Bathroom.
Right.
I think that really could help my theory along. I'm happy to put it into my thesis, and I don't feel as let down with this movie anymore now that you've brought that to my attention.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Like, why are you so obsessed with bathrooms anyway? It's like... Everybody thinks it's like really weird.
I'm a little embarrassed about it, but I felt like I had a pattern going. I was waiting for it to be in this movie, and I'm happy to know that we are going to count bedpans as bathrooms.
Yes, they are.
That's like bed knobs and broomsticks. Bedpans and bathrooms.
Sure.
John.
That's so strange.
Did you have a maniac moment?
The only thing that I thought of while I watched this kind of... You know, I didn't love it. What it made me want to do was go watch the original trilogy.
Sure.
Right. What I found most fascinating about Scream 4 is that it's a unique film because it's kind of a tour of almost three generations of telephonic technology.
Hmm.
We have phone, we have landlines, we have iPhones. And then we have representatives from that awkward era. We had flip phones. We had those little phones where the screen
slidey?
Kind of flipped up. Yeah.
The sidekick.
The slidey. Right, the sidekick, exactly. So I found myself watching that movie being like, 2011 was a real awkward age for phones. Because now, it's iPhone or Android, right? Mm-hmm. But like, once upon a time... There were so many phones.
Nokia.
We had wireless phones. They had, again, phones with wires. All the phones. So 2011, if you wanted to show kids what it was like in 2011, that's it. We had lots of weird phones, many of them poorly designed.
Well, and Britt, you had all of the talk on the phones in the past episodes where they evolved from cellular to cell phone or whatever.
Yes, they referred to cell phones as cellular. Let me get my cellular.
I'm so glad that didn't stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too long. Too many syllables.
It's too many syllables.
Brittany, did we do your maniac? I'm sorry.
No, but I'm ready.
Let me. I gotta hear it.
Well, it's not actually like John. It was a little underwhelming in the sense of like there wasn't like a lot of crazy kills. There weren't a lot of crazy, like, you know what I mean? It was just like it's usual horror movie stuff. Like, why'd you go up the stairs when there's a door right there? But I did think there was a crazy moment right at the beginning. There's two women in the house. They're just gabbing. One has a stalker. And then this person is saying, like, I'm going to gut you on over the phone. Don't hang up. And then he's like, I'm at the door. And then there's a knock at the door. Yeah. And the woman's like, you know what? I'm just going to open it. The other one is like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, you know, it doesn't even matter if somebody's messing with you. Definitely don't open the door. Right.
Right.
But she opened the door. That's pretty crazy. Nothing happened at that moment, but still crazy.
There was a tree there that was frightening.
Sure.
An unfair fright, I would have to say.
So early too.
Yeah.
And that was one of the like false beginnings too. I was a little, was the whole movie a false beginning to whatever Scream 5 is going to be?
Maybe. Just kidding. Who cares?
Yeah. This was supposed to be the reboot of a second trilogy, which is unfortunate.
I didn't know that.
I'm really waiting for whatever Stab 8, 9, and 10 were going to be.
All right.
Anyway, John's got a heart out, so let's keep moving on.
I got a heart out, guys.
This is one of the best segments of all time. It's called Things That Make You Go E.
I love it. I've heard about it.
It's a weird moment and odd. Maybe it's out of touch. Maybe it's very much of its time. Brittany, lead the E campaign.
It's 2011. You know, YouTube's on the scene. You know, everybody's got a cell phone, although they're, like John said, variations of a cell phone. And I just thought those, what were the two guys who were doing the movie stuff? You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, what were the film geeks, the AV club, the
cinema club.
Cinema club. They were just that perfect stereotype. They're just like, it's Hollywood's first iteration of like that YouTube can't stop talking to a camera kind of character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just interesting to see, because if you saw that in a movie now, you'd be like, okay, like you need to try harder.
Well, and also like a headset camera.
Yes.
Right. Well,
you film your entire high school experience and what, post it on the net?
Everybody will be doing it someday, Sid.
When the club is meeting, there's a point where one of the nerds explains how the internet, how everyone one day is going to be living out, even in public,
playing Mortal Kombat with your friend in Vietnam.
But they were like, you know, everyone's going to be broadcasting live. And when I watched it today, I was like, it's hokey the way they're explaining it, but also so true.
Yeah, yep. They're not
it's
wrong.
Frighteningly true.
But they said that. But then again, you know, the webcams that Gail sets up, I'm just like, that's adorable. That is like,
yes.
She's like carrying them with two hands.
It makes me want to be a minor time traveler.
Yes.
And just travel back 10 years and turn to Gail and be like, one day those cameras are going to fit in your phone.
Yeah.
Your cellular.
Blown. Yeah. One day these gigantic summer sausage size cameras are going to fit in your cellular.
I got a pretty simple thing that made me go E. Why was Adam Brody in this movie?
Oh.
Did he have a subplot that made him and Anthony,
Adam Brody?
He was the other cop. The dude from like the OC.
Oh.
And Gilmore Girls.
He didn't get killed.
He did get killed, but it was such a weak kill.
Yeah.
There was nothing. It was a means to
just
an
got
end.
Got stabbed in the back like
a coward. He wasn't the coward. Scream was the coward there.
Thanks for clarifying.
It made me just feel that it made me feel like there had to have been a subplot with Anthony Edwards and Adam Brody that just got
Anthony Anderson.
Who's Anthony Edwards? He's from ER, right?
He's Goose from Top Gun.
Sorry, Anthony
and Goose is dead.
I know. Well, and in this movie, so is Anthony Anderson. I do think there was a subplot with those cops that got cut that would have made this movie a little bit more fun. But that's just a theory, and no one will be. I don't know Kevin Williamson, so maybe he can tell me if I ever meet him.
Not yet,
John.
Well, yeah, again, the technology of the movie amuses me to no end, mm-hmm. and kudos to the late Wes Craven for knowing that he had to cover this, that he had to address the World Wide Web. The other thing I realized is that David Arquette, Dewey, is just terrible at his job. Terrible at his job. The security he provides, like the two cops can't, I mean, these are, every ghost face is some teenage shitbag.
Yep.
And they are able to run rings around trained professional law enforcement, and it just got to be too much for me. Also, Jill, I refuse to believe, has the upper body strength to stab
people into the forehead.
That's it. That's just all I got.
Period. Oh, okay. Oh my God. I agree.
But that first Scream movie, it did remind me. It was a good movie.
Yeah. I enjoy Scream 1.
Matthew Lillard crying. Great.
Oh my God.
My mom and dad are gonna be
so mad. It's great because teenagers are shitbags.
I hate them. I'm terrified of them.
I mean, I take that back. Honestly. That's not true. Maybe half.
I'm scared of teens. Brittany, are you scared of teens?
I'm intimidated and I want them to think I'm cool.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Well, I think you're cool, Brittany.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to tell them that you said that.
Yeah. Do you know John DeVore?
You tell them middle-aged John DeVore thinks you're cool and they'll be like, no way. His TikToks are sick.
He's also got a heart out. So let's move
John
on
DeVore
to...
John DeVore always has a heart out.
We're going to move on to The Thing.
Can anybody hear me?
We found something quite remarkable.
We found something.
Is this dork made of orange rock like the rest of his body? The Thing.
Your biggest takeaway. So if you were at a dinner party, John, and someone says, what was the last movie you watched? You're going to have to bring up a talking point about Scream 4. What is it? What are you bringing up over dip?
I would bring up, like, Roma. I would bring up a movie of socio-political weight.
You're forced to do Scream 4 this scenario.
That's an interesting plot for a horror movie. I will die. Again, it made me a little sad. Wes Craven, it was a genre-defining talent. I felt that Scream 4 was a little phoning it in. You know,
I agree.
I think we also forget what powerful hits the first three Scream movies were. I find it interesting how much horror has changed in 10 years because, you know, I just watched Midsommar for the second time and I love that movie. My friends who are horror fans love that movie. And it's just fascinating to me how distant. Because when I looked up, I thought Scream 4, I was all screwed up with the timeline. I was like, you know, Scream was 1996?
Yep.
And you reminded me. I thought Scream 4 would have been early 2000s. I didn't know it was 2011. It just didn't. There's also that thing that by the time 2011, Meta was over.
Yeah. It wasn't as fun to be as self-referential.
The horror movies that are hits now aren't meta, you know. They are, you know, they are intense. They are real. They are sincere. They can be smart and playful. Midsommar certainly was playful, but they're not winking.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to come back again here pretty soon.
But that always happens once we get to a point where you know we're in a cycle now of very specific kind of horror films. But like you know that's I would love to see a return to form of the slasher genre, something surprising, something. I would love a sincere sort of reinvention, you know, like the last Halloween, the most recent Halloween was fine, but it was like an action movie. I would like to see a return to that.
Brittany, how about you? What's your thing?
Well, just on that note, we haven't talked about this, but when they made jabs at the Saw franchise at the very beginning.
Yeah.
That was just like, that's dumb. That's a dumb kind of horror movie. But the thing is, you know, if I had to explain this at a dinner party, I'd be like, I enjoyed it. It was entertaining, but kind of, you know, not really a lot of unique things going on, you know?
Yeah, I felt like it was having fun rehashing things it had done in the past because there was like remakes of Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th around the time that it came out.
It made me nostalgic.
Yeah, but I don't think it worked the way they were intending for it to
work. Oh, that's an interesting contrast, though, because I'd forgotten that terrible remake of...
Yep.
I'd forgotten all those remakes came out, so maybe in context,
yeah,
Scream 4 might have been better in the context of all of those...
movies that were coming out and, like,
remakes.
Not quite hitting the mark. Maybe this hit more of the mark at the time, which actually, like, leads into what I want to say, which is, like, if you're going to, like, this had the idea that it was going to be this new trilogy because of movies like that. And if you're going to map out a new trilogy, you should have that trilogy mapped out before you make this movie. Like, they should have already, like, planned the deal to make three more movies. And unfortunately, Wes Craven passed away. But I feel like...
But I mean, he's singular, you know?
Yeah, like, I just think that they didn't think it through. It was a rush job. And as much, like, I feel like I liked this more than Scream 3, even though Scream 3 did have Cliff short for Clifford from Dawson's Creek.
Sure.
I think this was a little bit more paced with what I'm used to and didn't have as much of the creepiness, but was so dumb in certain areas because it fits in that little space of cell phones and technology about to explode that you get to make fun of it, but you also get like a faster paced movie.
Right.
That was my big takeaway. John, we are at the point where we like to rate the movie and we like to have our guests choose the rating system.
You are really staring at me intensely.
Oh.
Well, I know you have a heart out, so. in the past, we've had, would we stab, would you shoot, or would you fuck the movie? We've rated
Would I fuck, marry, kill the movie?
Yeah, but stab, shoot, fuck. Okay. That's what Ben put together as a rating system, as our guest. What was it? Liev Schreiber's tight pants? That was another rating system,
Liev
right?
Liev Schreiber's jeans, yeah.
Yeah, his jeans and his jorts. Tim had a really good one in episode 3, but like what I'm saying is it doesn't necessarily have to be a 1 to 5.
Right. I would give this movie, Scream 4, 4 out of 10 lemon squares.
Oh!
Ooh.
I'll take that.
Brit?
Oh, gosh. Lemon squares. Yeah, I'll give it, do like a half C. I need half a plate of lemon squares, right?
Half a plate of lemon squares.
Oh, no, I just like, if 10 is a plate, I'll give it a 5 out of 10. I'll do the math for
so
you.
Okay. Five lemon squares. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to give this one 6 smaller lemon squares in a Tupperware so that they're easier to all fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I was going to cut myself a lemon square at home, I'd probably get a little bit bigger of a lemon square.
Hmm.
But this movie's getting...
A workplace lemon square.
A workplace. 6 workplace lemon squares.
Carla brought the...
Yeah. I mean, we have to eat them to be polite.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they taste okay. So that's been Scream 4. That's been the season finale.
Oh my gosh.
Of Pumpkin Spice Podcast. It is Halloween today if we're playing our cards correctly.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
John,
Halloween.
I don't know about you, Brittany, but like I am so very thankful that John wanted to join us today.
You should be.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't know if I feel the same way? Like I feel more strongly
than you did. Brittany, did you not want me to be on this?
That's all I wanted. I was like, you and I did
one podcast live, and then we became like the best Twitter friends.
No, personal friends actually, but you know, as evidenced on Twitter, yes, for sure.
I don't know what series we're gonna do next, so I hope everyone tunes in. But before we get to our credits, John, can you talk to us about Humongous?
Yeah, sure. And I appreciated when you had me on for the Christmas murder movie.
Yes.
Because an award-winning journalist.
Yeah, it surprises me every day.
Was unemployed.
What?
I know. Since then, I have launched a website, a magazine for Medium, the publishing platform. It is called Humongous. And it is a site about masculinity and pop culture. So I write a lot of essays and I publish a bunch of essays about movies and television shows and manliness and feelings.
Mm.
And so, you know, I've written about, well, we've talked about Rambo. I wrote a review of Rambo, which the last Rambo, which was terrible. We're coming out with stories this week about Ad Astra and Joker. And, you know, like masculinity is a fluid conversation. It's not a site just for men. It's for anyone who identifies as a man or who has ever seen a man in the distance.
I've done that. I have. That's me.
I know. Right. If you've ever like pointed and been like, look, there's a man. I accept pitches. All that I ask is that it is about something pop culture and that it address masculinity in some way, which, as we know, is, you know, masculinity is like a hat, like a feathery musketeer hat. But, you know, it's a good time to have a conversation about what masculinity is.
Yeah, I agree.
Who to be. And, you know, a lot of who we are, the stories that we tell ourselves are reflected on screens. And so I'm also very interested in, you know, the stories we tell ourselves as men and the culture we consume.
It's great. And I love everything I've read from it. Which and I encourage everyone else.
There's not that much, though.
We don't need
I wrote
to say
a whole
that
essay about Rambo, and you were like, I saw the movie. I'm like, did you read my essay?
The essay came out before I saw the movie. I wasn't going to get it spoiled for
me. Well, all I'm interested in is Brittany reading it.
Oh, yeah. I'm on it. I'll let
Me
you
too.
Know.
That's all I'm interested in.
I'll wait.
Okay, yeah.
You know what?
I thought you had a hard out.
I can make some texts. I did.
I'll tweet you that I read it, okay?
Yeah.
I want to thank Jeremy Siegel for editing this episode as well as composing the music for this podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Brittany, where can the people connect with us?
On Twitter, use the hashtag pink jeans.
Pink jeans.
Yes.
Use that hashtag. Let us know you're listening.
We're on Instagram.
You can go to Pumpkin Spice Podcast Instagram. Yeah.
Yes. What else?
And since this is the final episode of this season, I would really appreciate it if people would rate and review this podcast on the podcatcher of choice. Overcast,
okay.
You can star an episode. iTunes, you can say, click, clack, click. Loved it.
Yes.
It helps us out. You can also, if you really want to help us out, go to patreon.com/pinkjeans. This podcast is made possible by the 20s of people giving us a couple of bucks to make it happen. And now that we're going into the off season, they will get the behind the paywall bonus episodes. Like, I think we talked, Britt, about doing Smokin' the Movie.
Oh, that's a good one.
Smokin' the Movie.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, with the green guy.
Yeah. Yeah, the green guy, green faced and white teeth guy.
Yeah, real white.
The movie, The Mask.
Yes. Yeah, The Mask.
Well, you know, I don't want to be a professional here, but you might want to mention the name of the movie because I was like,
wait, it's not called Smokin' the Movie?
That sounds like a late 70s Burt Reynolds movie.
Oh. Well, maybe we'll find that Burt Reynolds movie and watch that instead.
It might be better if you use the. what are you going to title this? Episode.
Scream 4 with John DeVore. It rhymes.
No, it's called Ghostface Killer.
No, that's a rapper.
No. The guy in the movie.
Oh, that ghost. No,
it's
his name's
called,
Scream.
It's going to be called Lemon Square.
Yes!
And then no one knows what this episode's about.
Yes, like, exactly.
In our season finale, My Bloody Lemon Square.
All right.
That
well,
terrible.
Thank you all for tuning in, Brittany.
What?
I hope all is well out in Los Angeles.
It's all right.
Excellent.
No,
John,
it's good. It's good.
Once again, thanks for being on.
Rob,
I know you got a heart out.
I appreciate it. I have a heart out, Brittany. You're a delight.
Oh, John, I'll talk to you later. Okay, because we're friends in real life. So.
Oh yeah, no, you and I will have a friend conversation.
Yeah.
About friend stuff.
Yeah.
When Rob's not around.
That doesn't at all sound like you're two robots.
We're not.
To quote Scream 4, I'll message you on Facebook, but don't make me delete you.
Yeah.
Yeah, deal.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
okay, Clive? You almost done in there? Jesus Christ, dude. Do you only drink water once a day? And it's just when I'm recording? Okay, I'm sorry.